This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball game is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Sauce after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
We just got a text from Randy and Van Buren saying that 540 is backed up southbound because of a wreck. Listeners, be careful. He said he just passed on Kelly Highway. So over in that area.
Yeah, I was just looking. Bentonville schools are delayed till 10. Fort Smith schools are out. I think I saw where Van Buren has already canceled classes. We're not going to read through them all, but probably because there's better people to handle school closings. But point is, a wide range of areas that's dealing with the weather this morning are already delaying or canceling, in many cases, classes for today.
See, I thought our policy here on the Morning Rush is if Fort Smith Public Schools are closed and we are closed,
then what would we have on the air?
Oak and Winko's good. People like them.
You just want to stay in bed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, who doesn't want love? Like you just talked about, Tommy, you know, maybe not curling up with the book in a blanket, but, you know, playing Call of Duty.
that's going to be the problem in my house today is it's going to be an all-day Fortnite fest.
There's nothing wrong with that, Tom.
Oh.
I mean, keep some occupied,
rots the
right?
Brain. It rots the brain.
It does, but man, is it fun on snow days. That's like video games almost are like double as fun on snow days. Isn't that right, Matty T?
That's right. Now, back in my day, it was an N64, you know, all day N64 marathon. But Tommy, that's what you need the internet for, all day video games.
That's sessions. Right.
Are any of us old enough to say back in my day?
I mean,
I guess borderline, maybe, but things have changed so much that maybe
somebody in here is above 30, so I guess.
we're getting to that point. But no, I remember doing that. GoldenEye, man. Just playing that on the N64 like crazy. I mean, it's all great. So, point is, everyone be safe out there. There's a lot of snow on the ground, and obviously there's going to be some wrecks, so just be careful out there to all of you listeners that are out there as well.
I knew there was no need for us to cancel the morning show today or put on a best of because – Well, John Neighbors has four-wheel drive. I mean,
that's right,
you've got the big truck. You've been bragging on your the big truck and how manly it makes you perceive to be. But, so I didn't want to take that away from you that it was too cold or too slick on the roads to get
his
to work.
His truck has a toolbox. Also, there's a thing in the back that you can put stuff in.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, guys. If you would have said, hey, you know what? It's too dangerous out there. I would have taken it upon myself to put a bunch of bags of salt in the bed of my truck and drive around to people's homes and to the nursing homes and things, and then I would put the salt on the sidewalks to make sure everybody was safe, sound, and secure.
That's margarita salt, John.
Well, it's still salt. Still salt nonetheless.
It's the thought that counts.
It's exactly right. So, I mean, I would have done good for the community.
Can the lightning come down in a snowstorm? Is it lightning?
No, Tommy was like, no, we got to make you work here instead of going out and helping the community that you, because again, you have the four wheel drive.
I'll tell you what, Maddie and I will get the rest of the show, but we got to have video and pictures of you helping the community.
Yeah, I want proof. I do it.
I mean, before 9 a.m.
All right, I'll periscope it. I'll drive around and I'll help the good people of the River Valley and trying to make sure that their entire roadways are salted.
What about Northwest Arkansas?
Drive up there too.
Yeah, need you to do that. So
I'll do your driveway because obviously you almost had a wreck this morning. So
yeah.
Make sure that you're safe, sound,
mine is not the easiest of driveways.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have money. You don't have an easy driveway.
That's right. I could barely get the gates open.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if nobody ever said that.
I wish that's true.
No, have you ever seen a poor person with a complicated driveway? Very seldom does that happen.
Yeah, in Peasantville, where I live, it's on the side of a hill.
Well, it was actually the chauffeur that almost hit the mailbox. You were just in the back with your coffee.
I wasn't
going
to go that far.
Coffee.
I nearly spilled my $5.
Yeah. Irish Bailey's is what it was.
His Grey Poupon almost got on his shirt.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But be safe out there, folks. I know it's snow's fun, but you also still got to be safe for all you out there driving in it as well.
And just because you have a truck that looks like John's doesn't mean you can drive 50 in a 40.
That's dangerous to everybody else, John.
Exactly.
I can't. Oh, okay. Well, yes, don't do
I've
that.
I've got some beefs on the weather today. The driving in this kind of weather. We'll get to those a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a perfect opportunity for some beefs. It's current. It's current events that are happening that you can get the What's Your Beef. So if you want to get in on the conversation, call or text into the Morning Rush at 877-377-6963. By the way, we're talking about that brawl that happened with Kansas State and Kansas. Would you have ejected the people in that one, Tommy?
All of them that weren't in wheelchairs, yeah.
Because when a brawl
happens, that's what really pisses me off about this, is this happened in the handicap section of all places. You could see, if you watch the video, you can see the fear in these people's eyes.
Because you don't know what's going to, I mean, you can see a Malice at the Palace type thing.
Exactly. And there was, you know, several older folks. It'd be like someone breaking out a brawl and your grandparents are sitting right there. That just makes me
uneasy.
That's why the punishment handed down, and it won't be the NCAA, it'd be the Big 12 office that deals with this. But it needs to be strong, a strong message. Because I don't remember basketball having, can you recall any big basketball brawls of this nature? There's been fights, there's been players get into it, there's been players ejected. This was a brawl. I don't recall anything on this level in college basketball in my memory banks.
Because I try to think of like what could be close to this, and we've seen some scuffles,
not in basketball.
Yeah, no, I like scuffles as far as just pushing and shoving and getting into it, but not.
I mean, on this level,
on this
what
level.
We saw last night.
No, I don't remember anything
in Kansas Ball Gallon Field. I've never seen anything like that in college basketball.
It just makes you wonder. It's like, I know it's like technically a rivalry, I guess, but like what could possibly trigger it to where you go from playing in a basketball game to immediately going into like a fight, like it's in the streets. I mean, because that's what it became. It was just, hey, find somebody wearing the opposite color and go after them.
I've got a little experience in this area, but
you do. You do.
I didn't watch the whole game. Only thing I've seen is the videos all of us are watching. I was at a game myself last night. But generally, there are things that I bet you go back to and pinpoint that were probably dealt with by the crew, the officiating crew during the game, that just led to this boiling over at the end of the game. It is a rivalry, obviously. But clearly, Kansas was the instigator. You know, K-State steals it. The player stands over him after knocking him down, taunts him. You know, time's expired. You know, Kansas started all of this. And the video we just reposted at Hit That Line AR, you can find it on Twitter, shows another incident on the front one at a game with Monmouth a year ago where Kansas tried to basically do the same thing, and it didn't obviously erupt into what we saw last night. But last night wasn't the pot just boiling over. It was the pot getting knocked off the stove.
Yeah. That's a bad deal. It's a bad look for college basketball in general. But I'm usually one that really appreciates fights in games, in sports, as long as nobody gets hurt. But it's just kind of like a nice little sideshow to it all. But last night was kind of a little more than that. It was more of like a scary moment.
20, 21, 22-year-old, and you get hurt in a fight, you'll heal. You're young, you'll heal. Yeah. But
people in the stands, patrons.
And again, we said, this is a handicap section.
So what's protocol if you've been obviously a referee for a long time, is it just you stay away from it or do you try to get in and help?
What you should really do, particularly during the game, is now in college you get more replay, and particularly in a game like that last night that's televised, in-house video as well, there's going to be plenty of video to figure out what happened. But no, if you can have your head on your shoulders enough, and I was involved in a situation like this last year that just erupted.
Just came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Because a player did something that was, you know, frankly stupid, and it caused it, much like last night. And if your head's on your shoulders and you can think through it, you want to get away. But human instinct takes over. You try to stop it, but you ain't going to stop these guys. How's a guy that's, like John Higgins was refereeing this game last night. You know, John's 6'2 or 3 or whatever. How's he going to go in there and stop these 6'9 guys that are 100 pounds heavier than him? 50 pounds heavier. You're not going to stop them. All you're going to do is get yourself hurt.
Yeah.
Let law enforcement, game administration deal with that.
Yeah, I'm staying away from that as best as possible. But
now, you know, the official's jurisdiction hadn't ended because they had not left the court. So, you know, any penalties they handed out, but what happens in this case is the video goes to the league office. It will be fully combed over.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll come back with. And again, if they did it by the way the rule is written, everyone that left the bench. The tricky thing is their game was over and you left the bench. But when you leave the bench because there's going to be a fight, and obviously if you participate in the fight, you're gone and suspended. in all likelihood. So it'll be interesting. Is this a baseball deal where we're going to spend these four players for this game and then the next game four more? You know, because as much as you would say the right thing to do is they're just going to have to forfeit their next game, you think about the ramifications for thousands involved and TV deals and. Because also, as you pointed out, the SEC Big 12 challenge is this weekend.
Maybe a free win for Tennessee and Alabama. Because Tennessee plays Kansas and Alabama plays Kansas State. So,
I can't envision them telling whatever ESPN, ESPN2, whatever, wherever these games are supposed to be televised. I'm going to guess the Kansas-Tennessee game's the primetime game on ESPN. I'm going to go out on a limb on that.
Yeah, Kansas usually draws.
Yeah. That, hey, oh, we're not going to have a game for you to put on TV tonight.
Yeah. Too much money involved in that, especially with Kansas. JT in Hot Springs texts in. He says, hold on, Kansas was dribbling out the clock. Kansas State stole the ball and tried to get a layup. Kansas then ran him down and blocked him. There had to be a lot happened before, but don't say it's obvious that Kansas started the fight. Because this is a whole element, because Jay Billis tweeted this out last night too. At what point and during a game, though, because people preach all the time, play until the whistle blows, play until the very end, don't give up, all that. But then it's like if someone with, you know, 20 seconds left or whatever tries to steal the ball, and they do, then like people are upset by that.
And what was the score, 81-59 at this point or something?
No, it was 81-60.
Okay, yeah. Pardon me, that's off a point.
Yeah, got to get it right.
The game was over.
Right.
It didn't matter. I mean, time was down to the last few seconds. Now, James says they are, no, hang on, someone tweeted or texted him, and they said they put a second back on the clock. I don't know why you'd do that when all hell had broken loose.
Yeah, James and Charleston said it.
Yeah, James said they put it. I didn't watch that far out because I wasn't watching this thing live. So they did that. I'm like, oh. And it maybe technically by rule should have been a second put back on. There's a big emphasis to make sure the game ends correctly, but there's nothing. This was a extenuating circumstance last night.
Well, they did put a second back on the clock. Okay. Yeah.
All I've seen is just the video highlight.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because
now by putting that second back on, it also reestablishes, you know, whether the game was over, and all the players that left the bench did so during the game as well, which clearly defines that rule. You cannot leave the bench area
for any reason.
For any reason, if a fight may break out, not if it did break out, if two guys are chesting up on each other, starting to push, and you leave the bench thinking the fight's about to start, you are gone.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is, Tommy, and you know this, if one guy from either team leaves the bench, they all got to leave. Because you don't want Kansas's bench leaving, and then Kansas State's hanging back. So they got to go in. I mean,
I understand that.
It's a snowball effect.
But there's a consequence to that action.
Absolutely, there is.
I'll be interested to see what the NCAA, Big 12 / NCAA powers. NCAA, I don't think will get, they'll let the Big 12 handle this. I'll be interested to see what they do.
They suspect.
Because there's a big emphasis to call it by the rules, you know, call it as the rule is written. Well, as the rule's written, every one of those players are gone. And you know, it's up to the league office what the long-term suspension is. The rule book says you're gone for the rest of that game. Well, there's 1 second left in the game. Now the league office has got to decide what the long-term penalties are.
You never know.
And generally, when fighting of this nature occurs, it's a single game or multi-game suspension.
Yeah.
But let's just forget about all that. Bill Self should do the right thing. He should sit the players. But do you think he's going to do that?
Nope.
Jeff Long should come in and say, hey, we caused all this. We started all this. These players aren't playing for four games, three games, whatever you believe is appropriate. You can't have integrity one day and say we're going to do the right thing, you know, one day and then not do it the next. That's what should happen here. And I'd say the same thing if Arkansas found themselves on the wrong end of a deal like this.
Yeah. Knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen. Tommy, you know the NCAA, they'll suspend him for five games next season. That's what they'll do, end up doing that. But no, it's a bad deal all around, because the question becomes for me, Tommy, is that at what point, because let's go back to where it all started. This happens in sports. And everyone talks and preaches about sportsmanship and, you know, shaking hands and all that stuff, which is all well and good, but we know how sports are. It's highly competitive.
I'm guessing there was no post-game handshake last night.
I think it's a good assumption. But, you know, that's what people want, and I understand. And you want sportsmanship. You want that.
Yeah.
But in a competitive and passionate and emotional contest in many games, you don't always get that. So, like, at the end of this game, when you have Kansas up big by 20 points, like, should Kansas State not be trying to steal the ball? Well,
there was nothing Kansas State did in that moment, that single moment that was out of bounds, against the rules, unethical, unsporting. They just stole the ball and went down to lay it up or dunk it.
See, that's where I'm at, is because some people, like Jay Billis, was saying that was a problem. Like, that was bad that they did
that.
Okay,
is that one of, like, one of them unwritten rules
in baseball? That's what I'm asking. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I'm like, at what point do you say, okay, well, since you're up by this mount and there's no way you can win, just stop, lay down and die. Don't play anymore. Just let them win.
Now, the game was over.
It is, 100%. It's physically impossible for Kansas to come back and win that game with 10 seconds left, down by 20. I get that. But
Doesn't mean they shouldn't try to lose by 18 instead of 20.
Yeah, and doesn't mean you should just, all right, sit back and let them do whatever. Like, I'm not down with that at all. But everybody likes to just make these big deals that, like, hey, if something gets escalated, just roll over if the game's over.
You could really just stuck it to them and say, all right, I got 12 technicals on Kansas. We're going to shoot 24 free throws.
There you go. Now, that would
be
something.
What a way to lose.
Now that would have been
something. What a way to lose.
I don't know if you're I don't know if that could be physically possible.
Well, I don't know if that's allowed by rule, but
it'd be funny at least to try it. So, but see, that's the thing, is like when I see plays like that happen,
we're going to shoot free throws till Kansas State wins this game, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, cuz when these fights are these types of stories break out, I always like to know about, you know, where did it all start? Why did it happen this way? How did it get to that point? How did it escalate to that point?
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you there are clues if you go back and watch the game tape all the way through where it was physical. It's just the nature of a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm. Because we see it happen in every sport, too.
I've seen it happen in many other sports where just a moment, it can erupt.
It ignites.
I mean, just a powder keg.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's cool. And then boom. All hell breaks loose.
Yeah. I just don't think there's any way you can prevent stuff like this from happening in sports.
No, you're never going to get it 100% out. But, you know, I would imagine coaches like Eric Musselman and others around the country will put this video on for their team. And this is a teaching moment.
It is.
For every other basketball team at any level. This is a teaching moment. Particularly once the penalties come out and you can match those up with, guys, you lose your head, you lose your cool. This is how embarrassing it can be. But also, here are the real penalties. I mean, I don't know what, you know, what do they call it? The J board there at the university?
That's right.
You know, would that
love
be
the J board? They're good friends with the J board.
I heard you were a frequent flyer.
Yeah,
with them.
They were good people.
I don't know if there would be some kind of action by the university itself beyond athletics. I mean, I don't want to get too far reaching and hey, these guys need to lose their scholarships and never play again. Let's not get carried away with it. But this wasn't just your normal sports fight for me. When it, you know, you don't want fans coming out on the court and causing problems. Well, you know, everybody stay in their area. And when the players end up in the patrons area, I got a bigger problem with that.
Yeah.
This wasn't one that just spilled over in the front row. You hadn't seen the video. This went to the back row of that bottom section.
Yeah.
This was frightening for those people sitting there.
If it stayed on the court, it'd be a big story, but it wouldn't be near the problem that it would if it just happened in the middle of the court and no patrons or anybody was involved.
If you haven't seen the video, it's in the end zone area behind the basket, but there's, what, 20 or 25 feet behind that basket till it gets to the wall of the student section, which is elevated.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of people and workers and people that were in and occupying that area. And then the next thing you know, this going all the way to the back one, there's a very good photo of a Kansas picking up a chair.
Yeah.
And holding it in a manner
about to throw it.
I'm about to hit somebody over the head with this thing.
It got grabbed from behind from somebody and avoided it. Because if that would have happened, then we really, really would have had some problems. Would have been the malice at the palace part two, because that can escalate it as well. And see, that's the thing too, Tommy. Pushing and shoving happens. Punches, never should happen, but can. Picking up a chair to throw it, that's like next level stuff. That's a bigger problem than just getting in a fight. That's just that's awful stuff. Yeah.
Hey, is your home in Arkansas at least 10 years old in a OG&E home? You're served by OG&E for your electric service. They have trained crews that will come out and do an energy audit at your home to help you increase your comfort. On a day like today with the snow coming down, that cold weather, you want more comfort and to trap that heat inside your home and to lower your bills. None of this will cost you a dime. It's free to OG&E customers in qualifying homes. They'll come back and install measures like attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more. And again, it won't cost you anything. 1-800-272-9741. That's 800-272-9741 to find out about OG&E's free home weatherization program. We're going to find out a little bit about how Jeff Long would handle it. He never had a situation, to my knowledge, like this at Arkansas to handle. And we're just focusing on it because there's a relationship there. But, you know, I think you can't be all about integrity and all that. Is this a moment that calls for integrity? I mean, this isn't it's a fight. This isn't cheating on your wife. This isn't lying to your employer. This isn't giving money to an employee and lying to your boss about it. But this is still where you need to, you know, as the AD, make sure your administration takes a strong stance on something that's this public.
I hope whatever it is, he struggles with it. Is that too harsh? Is that too harsh?
I thought you were a Jeff Long fan.
I was until I wasn't. I mean, pretty much until some things transpired. But, you know, I think it was with this and then, you know, having Snoop Dogg in the stripper poles and in their blue and white game or whatever you want to call it, Midnight Madness, however you want to say it. Like, it starts to make me wonder. I was like, this might be a shock to some people. But Jeff Long might be full of crap. This whole integrity stuff. Just a facade. And I know that's surprising. That may make people blow their minds. And if you are Jeff Long fans out there, I apologize. But I'm just saying. Jeff Long.
Well, we'll go find out here.
Does things for Jeff Long.
I think
he will. Whatever decision he decides, I'm sure is going to be one that's met with great upbeat understanding of the situation and saying how it won't happen on his watch anymore. And he's already put out a statement. Yeah. Just, it was like three paragraphs long about how it's unacceptable, but it's just, I don't know. Whatever it is, I know, like clutching of pearls, everyone's like, my goodness.
Hey, I thought Ruskin had the best question about this thing last night. How in the world did Bill Self's toupee not get knocked off in all this? That must be some good double-sided tape.
You think it's a toupee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's getting some help there. Plugs, toupee, something. That ain't the real carpet up there.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just never paid attention, I guess. But maybe that's why he didn't really get involved is because that toupee would come flying off. That would have been awesome.
That made it worth all of it.
Yeah, right there would have been worth all of it.
Hey, breathe and rest easier with an air quality check from B&J Comfort Solutions. You can keep your home safe and comfortable in under 30 minutes with B&J Comfort Solutions. Indoor air pollution may be the source of a wide variety of health-related issues. Maybe you and your family are dealing with allergy symptoms that are more serious than they should be. Even life-threatening illnesses can all be caused by the air quality in your home. Call B&J Comfort Solutions for an indoor air quality testing, and you'll receive a full comprehensive report on your home's air quality. 479-646-0284. That's 646-0284. Remember, B&J Comfort Solutions has the industry-leading 5-year labor warranty on all new system installations.
We got the second hour of the Morning Rush coming up on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Stay with us, folks.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
I don't really know why or how we got this pleasure to welcome in on the phone lines Joe and Avoca, but it's been a long time, Joe. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, boys. How are you guys doing?
Did you get permission from Ruskin and Zach to actually call this show?
Well,
I thought they had an exclusive on your calls. Do what?
I woke up early. The snow got me awake. I had to make the fire, clean out the ashes. I'm sick of winter, boys. Sick of it.
Yeah, well, it'll be over by 2 o'clock today, you know. This will conclude the winter season in Arkansas.
Yeah, well, I'm tired of it. I'm retired and I'm tired. If it wasn't for my the one person I got here that I have to stay for, I'd be down south, way down south.
Where would that be? Where is way down south for Joe?
He's a Keys guy. He's a Keys.
Is it the Philippines?
Philippines.
The Philippines? Or way down south in Mexico.
Wow. So you're really going down south where you can wear shorts 24/7, 365.
Yeah, where it never gets under 75 degrees. That's the way I like it.
Well, I'm with you, Joe.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing today? Bill Lamano, Chad Morris was the worst coach we ever had by far.
In any sport.
He was an idiot. He didn't know his, you know,
backside from a hole in the ground.
You know what? From a shinola.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good one.
He didn't know it. Anyway, the Razorback women are rolling. Eric Musselman. Well, I don't know. That last half of that Kentucky, or that first half of the Kentucky game the other day, they couldn't have done any worse. I mean, how can you end a half any worse than that? The way they did that. They gave up so many points and whatever. But I don't know, guys.
Well, they definitely had a lot of missed free throws there in that first half, too. That was very hurtful and impactful.
Yeah, the one and ones, that just kills you.
Mm-hmm.
That just kills you. But anyway, they're going to get better. And the women... My God, the women are just cruising along. I love the women. Now, I wouldn't watch the women's game. Well, they are good.
Neighbor's got it figured out, doesn't he?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, he's a good coach. And they're disciplined. Disciplined, huh?
They are. They're top 25 team, have been for most of the year. So, yeah, they're right up there cruising. Hey,
excluding Dave Van Horn, take him out of this conversation. Who's the next best coach on campus right now?
Got to be Carter, right?
Well, if every time I'll – dang it, that's a hard one there.
Yeah.
Every time – Nolan comes on campus, he's the best coach on campus.
Well, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Then if John McDonald comes on, those are the two best coaches I know of. John McDonald and Nolan Richardson. But, boys, I'm not too fired up. I'm sober this morning. I'm really not.
Yeah, your sober calls aren't nearly as good as your...
Yeah, I know. They just ain't working.
Yeah.
They just ain't working.
Yeah. Well, just hit some fire water this morning and get you fired up, man.
Yeah, all right. I'll tell you what. The next time I call up, I will be fired up.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all good, Joe. We appreciate you calling in regardless. All right, my man?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, Joe. Yeah. That's why he called in. We haven't heard from him. He had to call in sober. It's just
not as good.
Not the same thing. So,
dadgummit.
It's all right. Even a sober Joe Navoca has got some moments. But going back to your
point. That's why the calls aren't as good in the morning. Sometimes it's a few of them you get in the afternoon.
When you can't hit the sauces early.
Exactly. I mean, nobody's drunk yet.
Just remember, Joe. Just remember, you can't drink all day unless you start early.
Very true.
And you got to start early. Always good from hearing from Joe. But going back to your question, Tommy, I have to get it to Lance Harder, by the way, for your – he's the second best. I mean, national championships.
He brings up Mike Nabors, and I think everyone would default Musselman. Well, who's the better basketball coach on campus? And I say that with respect to both of them.
Yeah, because they're both good.
They're both really good.
That'd be a great – we should do a poll question of that. And just try to not do it in a way, because everyone's going to be like, why are you pinning them against each other?
Yeah.
No, just curious.
Why are you hating on Mike Anderson?
Yeah, no.
It doesn't have anything to do with Mike Anderson.
Between Mike Nabors and Eric Musselman, who do you think is the better basketball coach? Maybe it's a tie.
That's a cop-out.
I know, but that's what people are going to say. I don't know. That's a good question, though. It's a really good question.
I mean, everyone, if you said who is the best current head coach on campus, you got to say Dave Van Horn.
The best?
On campus?
On campus?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because of the consistent success he's had.
But Tommy doesn't have the title.
I understand. He's number one on my book.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just more pushing the issue. But I mean,
I understand Lance Harder and
the guy's won titles. He's won championships. That's kind of where I'm at. He's because he's the only coach on campus with a championship.
Here's and this is going to sound wrong, but follow me on it.
Oh, good.
Has Lance Harder, while he's won national titles, this is how terrible this is going to sound. But think about it. Has Lance Harder really improved that program or maintained excellence?
I mean, for the women's program, yeah, I think he has. I mean, he didn't take over for John McDonald in the men's program.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was hard to improve on perfection. John McDonald already had however many, 30, 42, whatever it was at that time, lost track of the track national titles. I mean, there was a little bit of a dip because of the investigations, and Harder had to get it back there, but that program was already established as the track program in the country.
Right.
So it's hard to... Van Horn's made the baseball program, to me, improved it more than the track program.
Yeah, which, again, that's a valid argument. It's a valid argument, but, again, it's just like... He's won four national championships. Lance Harder has,
yeah,
and he's won conference championships.
If you're going to go based on just championships, then there is no discussion here.
I mean, dude,
that makes this a boring conversation.
He's got over 500 All-Americans. And I know that a lot of it wasn't just strictly with.
I can't say you're wrong, and here's why.
Yeah, he's been there for 30 years.
He's trying to look at it a little bit different.
Oh no, and again, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that if you just look at championships, if that's really all it comes down to, that's maybe why the reason you go with Harder. But let's just make the whole thing about the fact that right now, except for football, maybe because there's still some speculation there, you're really happy and confident of where you're at right now as a program.
I'm just trying to say, I guess what I was really getting at there based on Joe's call is, where is Mike Nabors in the conversation of coaches on campus at current time?
I mean, he's in the top. He's in the top. They got a lot of great coaches at the U of A right now. Across the board. He's got to get that football program going. And then it'll all be good. All right. Let's get into the real fun here and get into What's Your Beef Wednesday here on The Morning Rush.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
But I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is time for What's Your Beef Wednesday, presented by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, New Holland Dealer Days are back. Williams Tractor is opening their doors to help you tackle the season ahead with special preseason savings right now. 0% financing, cashback offers, and select New Holland hay tools, tractors, and material handling equipment. Be a great day to have your New Holland with a blade on the back of it or the front of it. Maybe the bucket on the front, getting that snow off the parking lot, that ice, scraping it off. They can help you with all of that. New Holland Dealer Days at Williams Tractor, Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
All right. So for my beef today, I'll go ahead and kick it off. Mine's it's probably something that not a lot of you can relate to, but it's fine. So I live in an apartment complex, and I have a dog. His name's Rowdy. And when he has to go to the bathroom, I take him out on his leash and walk him around the apartment complex.
And the landlord appreciates you taking him out.
Yes, absolutely. So do I. So that way I don't have to deal with it. But I walk him around the apartment complex on his leash, and he does his business. I bring him back in. It's a very simple concept that's been around really since the beginning of time, is walking your dogs and letting them do their business. But for whatever reason, and this hadn't just happened to me recently, because it did, but it's happened to me in several occasions when I'm walking my dog, is for some reason people feel like their dog does not need to be on a leash. I don't know why, but when you live in an area that has a lot of dogs around, And this may be shocking to you, Tommy, but when dogs see another dog, they usually either get really excited or really aggressive and come after that said dog. Well, anyways, this guy comes out, and I'm walking Rowdy around, and he opens his door and just lets his dog run out. And what does his dog do? Come over and try to attack Rowdy. Now, luckily, his dog was smaller than Rowdy, which is saying something. Never seen a guy with a dog like that, but it was a very small dog. So it was more just trying to act tough than anything.
All right.
But my whole point is
all bark, no bite.
Exactly. And so, and of course, you know, Rowdy being the brave dog that he is, since he's afraid of boats and golf carts, just kind of, you know, jumped around and whatever. And he's like, yeah, sorry. Dude, put your dog on a leash. If you're living in an area and in a community where you have to, and I think Matty T also knows a lot about this too. When you're in a community and you have an area where you're going to be having dogs around, just put them on a leash.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I deal with this on a weekly basis, too. Now, there's probably a rule at your apartment that dogs are supposed to be on leashes,
too. I'm sure it's in the
leash. So you could go to the higher-ups. But what I've told, there's a lady, she has two little yippy dogs, and it's like, they run right up. It's like, look, my dog's like 60 pounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, big old dog.
But she's well-trained, you know what I mean? But I tell ladies, like, I walk back with, you know, those dogs. It's like, look, ladies, like, these dogs are going to run up to a bigger dog that isn't as trained as mine, and they're going to snap one of their heads off. You know what I mean? So it's in your benefit to, if you've got a little dog that loves not on a leash, maybe get it trained and don't have it just running up to random dogs.
Yes. Just have your dogs on a leash because you never know what dogs you're going to do. Just do it. It's a very simple concept. That's all I ask, because I do the same thing for Rowdy. Just do the same thing for your dogs. That's my PSA for today. Spayed and neuter your pets, Bob Barker.
Thank you, Bob Barker.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's also
for
a good advice.
Yeah, too. Also good advice as well. So that's what I'm beefing with today.
I feel like we got to do something that's winter weather travel related.
There you
today.
Go.
Yeah, it seems current.
Because even
we'll only
on
get
my
like
way,
one chance this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, we only get like one a year. So I need, you know, we could beef on this Kansas State deal, or we could, you know, come up with, you know, this. All we got this weekend's the Pro Bowl, but why not bitch about the people that are driving 10 going up, putting on their brakes going up the hill this morning?
Is that what happened to you?
There was someone that I had to go around. I was trying to do about, you know, you got to get up enough of ahead of steam to make sure you can get to the top of the hill. Why? I mean, it's just unbelievable to me how people that don't know how to drive in the winter weather insist that they've got to drive. You already can't see the lines on the road at this point. So just understand how to drive in the winter weather, or stay at home. Just stay at home, because there are certain things that have to be done. Like, you cannot creep your way up a hill, or guess what? You won't get there, or all the cars behind you won't get there either. Be sliding back down. So that's my beat today. Show some courtesy. Don't be the guy like John, because you got a four-wheel drive truck and you don't even know where the button is to put it in four-wheel drive, but you got one. You're going to drive 60 in a 40 because, by God, I got four-wheel drive. And thanks. I'll see
What's
you
wrong with that?
I'll see you in the ditch about a mile down the road, you know?
Tommy, I bought tires for this weather.
Yeah, well, that's so good this for is, this one day a year.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to really test her out to see what she can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting a new sports car. You want to get on the highway and go 120. Stupid, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But you gotta see what it can do, you know? It's the same thing with tires.
Is the snow bad for those shiny rims you have on there? Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I just know it feels good.
Yeah.
The power beneath
so
my
how
feet.
Fast did you motor in here this morning?
I got her up to about 55.
Really?
Yeah.
He was doing donuts in the parking lot too before we came in.
Yeah. Brave soul.
Yeah.
He was eating donuts in the parking lot is what he was doing.
Well, hey, listen, where I live, it's a straight shot. It's early in the morning, nobody's around. No traffic, yeah. So might as well let her out a little bit, see what she can do.
Yeah.
It's what it's about. So it's okay. But I will say, though, that people dealing with yours about weather and winter, also, if you have a very small car, like I used to drive a Mustang convertible.
I drive a Honda Civic.
Do I
apply in this?
Yeah, well, let me ask you if you're one of these people where if you know for a fact that you will not be able to make it up a particular hill.
Don't go that way.
Don't go that way.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
I went a whole different, a partially different route to get here this morning, because I know you need to stay on state highways as best you can and avoid hills as best you can. And it's not because I don't think I can get there. It's because I'm worried about the idiot next to me crashing into my car.
Yeah.
And I'm certain he won't have insurance.
You get halfway up and start sliding backwards.
Yeah.
Just don't do that, though. Like, if you know you can't get up there, just don't try it. Mm-hmm. See, I lived in Fayetteville. I grew up in Fayetteville where it's all hills.
Are there any hills in Fayetteville?
Yeah, if you want to learn how to drive a stick shift and really know how good you are, you go to Fayetteville because it's nothing but hills. And that would happen all the time. And I'm like, somebody's trying to go up in a Miata up a hill that's up township. And I'm like, stop. If you know it, just find an alternate way. Be smart about it.
Yeah.
Just another thing, too, is just do one of those things. So, you got a beef today, man?
Yes, my beef is, I love the Walmart amphitheater. Gets great concerts and everything up there. Well, I saw yesterday they announced Nickelback. Now, that's not my beef, but...
You said they were having great concerts.
Well, every once in a while they get it. Every once in a while they get a Dudderoo. But the band that's, opening for them, Stone Temple Pilots.
Heard from them in a while.
I know. You know why you haven't heard from Stone Temple Pilots in a while? Because their lead singer died 4 years ago.
So they're still playing, though?
That's my beef. Is these bands that still tour long after that, like the actual member of the band who wrote the songs and sang all the songs doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, well, hey, everybody's got to make a living.
You know what I mean? But it's like, how about you say like Stone Temple Pilots with so and so, but they just posted on there because first you're like, wow, Stone Temple Pilots opening for Nickelback. Yeah, they're opening because the lead singer isn't alive anymore. So a couple years ago they also had Sublime, but it's like, yeah, that guy died in the 90s. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like you want to hear the drummer and the guy that played, you know, bass, you know what I mean? But the guy that wrote the songs and sing them. So that's my beef is bands that go out. And now a lot of people may not even realize that Scott Weiland died. You know what I mean? So that's my beef when you promote a concert. And
at least people know.
Let people know that like maybe 3/4 of the band, you know, is gone or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to see George Strait if George Strait's not there.
That's like going to... James Taylor, you know, but
it'd be kind of hard to have a James Taylor concert.
But it's like the guy that plays the keyboard and, you know, the bass player.
Yeah, it's just not the same thing.
JT in there, it's not quite the same.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. In fact, I see that, you know, like when I see Leonard Skinner's playing, I'm like, no, they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
Wasn't
there a plane crash like 30 years ago or something?
Do what Rage Against the Machine did when they got a new lead singer. They changed the name to Audioslave when Chris Cornell became the lead singer.
Or Prophets of Rage, right? Isn't that another
offshoot? Like, do things like that.
Yeah, change the name. At least be honest.
Let people know.
I feel like that is like, it's a little bit misleading. A little bit of false advertisement. Because I see the Facebook page and people come and like, I think half these people don't realize that Scott Weiland isn't alive.
Well, it's the same thing like when people do like sequels of movies and stuff and all that. They just try to use the name because they know the name will bring people in.
Uh-huh. And then everything else is completely
different. Because it's like they're going through this issue with the Fast and the Furious movies where the Hobbs and Shaw or whatever spinoff.
Yeah.
It's like the same type of movie, but it did horrible at the box office. Uh-huh. And people are saying, well, because it didn't have the name Fast and Furious in it, so they didn't even know. Yeah. So it's like, that's why people do it. I get it. But yeah, I hate that too as well.
All right, what's your beef Wednesday here on The Morning Rush? Brought to you by Joe's Grill and Cantina. Tonight, the game starts at 6 o'clock. So Arkansas, Mississippi State, it's the early one on the SEC Network. Get to Joe's Grill and Cantina early. Hey, maybe you're off work. Going to leave work early because of the winter weather today. Half Price Apps and Taps is their happy hour special, and it's also the special during the game. So you can go to Joe's, get half price beers on tap, all the appetizers, half price as well. They got TVs all around the restaurant. Get there early for the best seats in the bar area, as you can go to Joe's and enjoy the game tonight. Joe's Grill and Cantina, all beers, half price that are on tap. All appetizers are half price tonight as well. Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street in the River Valley.
A few people that are texting into the Morning Rush trying to give their beefs. This one comes from the 479. Oh, no, wait. It's this Officer Breeden. He says, people who block traffic waiting on parking space, just walk more. It's healthy.
It's great advice.
Man, that is great advice. I'm one of those people, too. I don't know if you guys are. Like, if I'm going to Walmart and it's pretty packed, I don't mind parking.
I enjoy parking
unless
further
it's just
away.
Pouring down rain.
It's good for you.
Walmart's made it real easy. They got like these 10 spots. They put signs up and it's painted orange. You just pull into one of them. They're always open now.
What are you doing, Tommy?
You just park right there.
Like, you're going to
go in. It's near the front. It's easy and convenient. No one's ever in those spots.
This is the same.
It's almost like better than handicap.
You're the same person that get all upset when people at Sam's were parking in the Sam's pickup lot. When you try to pick, now you're encouraging people to do the same at Walmart.
They even got them numbered for you.
Oh, my gosh. You are going to cause so many issues and so many heartaches for people like me who do Walmart pickup when I'm going to drive over there. And then this kid just be chock full and everything. Well, Tommy Kraft said on the radio. What did I do? It's like, great. So don't do that. Don't park in the orange spaces, folks. Don't listen to Tommy.
1 through 5 is open. Just park in 1 through 5.
Do you guys park? I risk it, though. I park next to the cart return.
I look for those spots.
Yeah, I do that.
Every time. That way, at least only one side of my car will get dinged up.
Yeah, because I do always have the fear that, you know, Homer or Jethro is going to try to say, hey, watch this, and see it try to, like, throw the cart from as far away as he can.
Well,
to try
I
to get
do
in
enjoy
it.
Doing that, too. I like to get a running start.
Yeah, but make sure that if you do, you'd have a contingency plan that if it goes rogue, you can run over there and stop it. Yeah. Like, at least
or
have
I just
that.
Take off before they see that it was me that...
Yeah, because...
I parked there so I get... It's I'm not... Don't have a moment of laziness where I don't want to take my cart halfway across the lot.
No, I encourage you, because as long as you put the cart back...
Yeah, it's easy. There's no excuse if you're parked... Within a space or two of it.
People still find ways. People still find ways. So, yeah, that's just something that I've always agreed.
Just park in the grocery pickup. They'll never know. By the time they figure it out, you'll be gone.
I'm glad it's coming from the 479. It says, I don't disagree, but I saw the Stone Temple Pilots last year, and they were awesome with Jeff Gutt. So, there you go, man.
We saw Stone Temple, but the pilot, you know, actually...
wasn't the same.
Wasn't somebody else flying the plane.
It wasn't the same. So, there you have it. There's your What's Your Beef Wednesday.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Arkansas has a big basketball game tonight against Mississippi State at 6 p.m. down there in Starkville, trying to look for a bounce-back victory after the tough loss to Kentucky. And to help us talk a little more about it, let's welcome in Andrew Hutchison of Hogbeat.com. Good morning, Andrew. You snowed in up there in northwest Arkansas?
You know, I just let the dogs outside, and there's a little bit of white stuff. I don't know if it's snow or sleet or ice or whatever, but there's a little bit on the ground.
Yeah, well, I know that there's a lot of people that's battling it this morning, so stay safe out there for all of you on the roadways. Let's talk about this game tonight, Andrew. Well, actually, let's do a two-parter here. That game against Kentucky and Bud Walton Arena this Saturday was one of the most electric atmospheres I've ever experienced at Bud Walton Arena, and it was a tough loss for Arkansas, but now it's about the bounce back. They've done well in bouncing back with their other losses. Do you think the loss to Kentucky is a little different type of loss that they're going to have to bounce back now that they got a tough game against Mississippi State tonight?
Yeah, it's different just because of how much went into that game. I mean, they gave so much, not just physically, but mentally as well, because it was an incredible atmosphere. I mean, when Calipari got tossed, it was as loud as I've ever heard it. And, you know, I've been going to games, I mean, obviously not as long as some people, but my entire life, and it was incredible. So I mean, that loss had to hurt. It obviously hurt Eric Musselman. He was clearly dejected after the game. I don't think he looked up a single time during his post game press conference, so you could tell it really hurt him. So it's different from that perspective, and it's also different from the fact that this is a really tough challenge for Arkansas. Especially considering, I think Eric Musselman said it best the other day, that Mississippi State's strength is their weakness, and that they are leading the SEC in rebound margin. Arkansas is near the bottom nationally in rebound margin, so it could be a very big challenge, especially when you throw in the fact that it's also on the road. Starkville isn't exactly the place that Arkansas traditionally plays great at, so... definitely a very, very challenging bounce-back game for him.
So, Hutch, how do you mitigate any of this? I mean, there's no way to get taller during the year. You know, so what does Arkansas do? How can they scheme? What can Eric Musselman do to mitigate some of this deficiency they have with the rebounding?
Well, the one thing is you got to try to limit Mississippi State's offensive boards. You got to really do well on the defensive boards, try to block out, box out, and just, you know, get what you can and limit the second chance opportunities. But you also got to do the other things to give you some extra possessions. You got to, you know, play great defense, try to get some steals, get some stuff in transition. And you also got to knock down three-pointers. That was something they really struggled with. They struggled with, honestly, all season. I think they're maybe in the – well, I know they're in the bottom half nationally in terms of three-point shooting, which – if you had told me that before the season, I'd say they were, you know, in trouble. I would have no idea that they would be 14-3 right now. But I think Musselman said the magic number on the road is they need to hit, I want to say, 10 or 12 three-pointers. Because if you don't hit that many, then you're going to have a hard time, making up the difference from the inevitable second-chance points you're giving up.
So let me ask you this, Andrew. Just I know that the Kentucky game was a tough loss, but we know the rebounding is always going to be a problem. We knew that before the year even started because of the lack of size. I mean, did anything change against Kentucky that made you think, well, now this team may not be as good as what we thought, that may not be able to finish strong as what we thought? Has anything changed from your expectation the rest of the season from that Kentucky game?
Not really, because it was very similar to that LSU game, if you remember, when Arkansas got absolutely dominated on the boards. I think they got out-rebounded by 29 in that game, ended up being 18 against Kentucky. Not every team is going to have a 6'10", 6'11", former five-star recruit, you know, in their starting lineup like Kentucky did. Not every team's going to have the kind of athletes that LSU had. I mean, they had a couple of really tall former five-star recruits that, you know, made it really hard on them. So not every team's going to have that. They should still be able to compete in the SEC. I still think they're capable of finishing in the top half of the conference, and I still think they're capable of, you know, reaching 20-21 wins and getting into the NCAA tournament. The problem is, you know, who are they going to be matched up with in the tournament? I don't think this is a team that, you know, I know there were a few people who were, you know, really drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, before the Kentucky game, thinking, man, this is the year they're going to make it to the Elite Eight. They may make a Final Four run or whatever. I don't think that's going to happen, just because they're going to run into a team that has the kind of athletes that LSU and Kentucky have, and it's going to give them problems.
Hey, back to the atmosphere from Saturday real quick. Connect the dots, draw the line. How big was this, not just for basketball, but football and recruiting for other sports on campus that had visitors there? It seemed to me you can draw a direct correlation between some of the commitments they've gotten over the weekend and just the way that the fans showed up and showed out on Saturday. Really was the first time Arkansas has been able to display the kind of passion this fan base has. They certainly didn't do it in football season. Andrew, can you connect that dot? Is that reasonable to do that? Hey, that atmosphere Saturday put it over the top for Sam Pittman and other sports that are trying to get visitors in here to say yes to Arkansas.
Oh, no doubt. I think it was huge because, you know, when you bring in visitors during the fall for a football game, they're not exactly impressed by the crowd of 45,000 that, you know, is not exactly a good crowd. So to be able to get them in and experience the atmosphere, and, you know, Sam Pittman's able to say, hey, whenever you come here and you help get this thing turned around, this is what it's going to be like, except with 70,000 fans, 75,000 fans. So it's a great atmosphere. It's something that we haven't seen in a long time. Obviously, you get it some in baseball, but, you know, baseball season's at a time where you don't really get too many official visitors. They just changed the rules and dates when you can have official visitors for football. So, I mean, you can occasionally maybe let them experience the baseball game, but it's still not quite like what, you know, Bud Walton is, you know, when it's an enclosed arena, you know, 20,000 people almost, you know, just right on top of you, shaking the building type of thing. So I think it definitely correlates. You know, they landed three commitments on Saturday, you know, a couple of them right before and during the basketball game, and obviously Felipe Frank. So it definitely was a big weekend for football, and I think the crowd had a big part to do with that.
Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com. You can follow him on Twitter at NWA Hutch. Always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the week and try to stay warm, all right?
All right, appreciate it, guys.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR.
Arkansas and Mississippi State tonight at 6 p.m. It'll be on the SEC Network as well as on all these radio stations. You can hear Chuck Barrett and Matt Zimmerman on the call as well. Mississippi State favored in 4 in this game, and they're coming off of 2 wins in conference play. And to help us talk a little more about it, let's welcome in the voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs basketball team, Neil Price. Neil, appreciate you joining us. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing awesome, and we're really excited here in the state of Arkansas about college basketball, really been in the thick of things, especially once conference play enters in. And this is a big game for Arkansas coming off of a loss against Kentucky, so we'll get to that in just a second. But let me just ask you about Mississippi State and so far this season. They're sitting at 11-6. They're 2-3 in conference, but have won the back-to-back conference games this past week. Just what has overall been the state of the program there? What was the expectations going into this season? Are fans happy with where currently things are? Just give us an overall synopsis of what's happened with the Bulldogs so far this year.
Well, I think the expectations were high coming into the year because they had just come off of their first NCAA tournament appearance in a decade. And when they got to the start of the season, they knew that they were going to be without Nick Weatherspoon, the guy that was going to play point guard for the first 10 games of the year. He had to miss the last 10 of the season prior. So they were kind of having to piecemeal what they were doing at that position. And that involved a senior in Tyson Carter who had played that position before in high school, but is much more of a two guard. And it involved a true freshman, Iverson Molinar, who is playing college basketball for the first time in his life. And they did, to their credit, a really good job of kind of surviving, getting through those first 10 games, and then getting Nick back right at the end of non-conference there, last two games of December. Now, with Nick back, here's another guy that has never played the position full-time at any point in his life, not even in high school. And now he's a junior. And he's had a little bit of an adjustment to make, but the light really looks like it has come on for him. Over the last two games in particular, he's valuing the ball, he's making the right pass at the right time, and he's cut back on his number of shots in each game to where now he's taking high-quality shots, he's shooting a better percentage, and his scoring numbers are about, I think, where everyone would want them to be for someone playing the point guard spot. Reggie Perry has been the guy who has been the focal point, I think, offensively. You know, he's averaging a double-double. He's one of five Power Five players that are averaging a double-double this year, All-American, really good player. And he gets some help on that front line from Abdul Adu, who is not an offensive player per se, but has been a real force defensively. And you can see it in the block shot numbers. You can see it in the defensive rebounding numbers. But he also does a lot on defense that you can't see, stuff that's not statted, like altering shots when players drive into the paint, helping, recovering on defense. You know, and that's the reason I think he plays and he starts as much as he does, because you look at his offensive numbers and they're pedestrian, but he really does make a difference on the defensive end. And the guy that gets lost in the shuffle is Robert Woodard II, who, if you look at draft boards, you see Reggie Perry's name on there, but Robert kind of quietly has appeared on some of those, and I think it's because he has a good all-around skill set and is kind of the glue guy at that three position for Coach Allen's team. So there's talent there, no question about that. There's still time for them to make a run, but five of the next seven games are on the road after tonight. So it's a big game for Arkansas, but I would argue it's a big game for Mississippi State, too.
You mentioned the 6'10 forward, Reggie Perry, and his numbers leading the team with 16 points, 10 boards a game, 2.5 assists at this point. Last year was 9.7 boards. What do you attribute the gains? Is it simply more minutes or you know, just another year under his belt? Why is Reggie Perry statistically so much better this year?
Well, I think he started to show some of that toward the end of his freshman season. Into conference play last year, he started putting up some numbers, including a handful of double-doubles. And I think a lot of it comes down to he is willing to go to the glass. And that's not a glamorous thing to do a lot of times, but he's willing to do it. He's a great offensive rebounder. He's good at cleaning up misses. He creates some second opportunities because of his willingness to do that. The other thing is he's got great touch. You know, to be his size, he has some guard-type skills. He's a willing passer. You mentioned his assist numbers. He's the son of a point guard. His dad holds a single-game assist record here and was among the top five in career assists at Mississippi State. So he shows some of that off. And, you know, I just think it's an all-around package with Reggie Perry. You're not just talking about the typical big man who goes and scores around the bucket. He's got some range. He can move. He can pass the ball. He can handle. I think the game's just coming because he's getting better in every aspect of his game.
Neil, let's talk about this game tonight, because Arkansas, I think, at least here in Arkansas and in a lot of people's minds, has surprised a lot of people. They were picked to finish 11th in this conference, and there's still a lot of games to be played, but they are certainly playing at a very high level in Eric Musselman's first year. What do you think about the matchup tonight against the Razorbacks, as well as what do you make of the Razorbacks in year one under Eric Musselman?
Well, I think he's done a great job, and I think a lot of us would have been surprised if they weren't better, just because if you look at Coach Musselman's track record, what he did at Nevada was outstanding. You know, and this is a guy who's been around the game all of his life. You know, I mean, his dad was a great coach in the NBA, you know, and then Coach Musselman has been an NBA coach. He's been a pro coach, you know, and he's been a very successful college coach. So I think that a lot of people aren't going to be as surprised that they're winning with that guy running the program as folks might think. And, you know, personnel-wise, too, you know, they don't have that big presence inside that they had a year ago, but they got really good guards now. I mean, you know, if you go back and look at what some of these guys did a year ago, especially when you look at Isaiah Joe and his ability to shoot the ball from the outside, I know that State had a real problem with Jones last year, you know, and he's back. And then I think that Jimmy Witt's a good addition for him, and kind of a cool story just in the way that it all kind of worked out for him, you know, and starting there and then going to SMU and then ultimately working his way back. So, you know, a lot of it's been based on what those guys have been able to do, but, you know, they still, despite having that big disadvantage in the rebounding margin, are finding ways to defend. They are making it tough on opponents to shoot from the perimeter, and they're doing what they need to do to give themselves a chance to win games. And they had a great chance to win that one against Kentucky. I saw some of that over the weekend. And, you know, they're right there in it coming down the stretch against a team that people picked to be up at the top of the league. And it just slipped away. So I think this will be a fight tonight, and I'll be disappointed if it's not.
Neil, who is the best team in the SEC? I think a week ago we said Auburn easily, but they've lost two in a row. Who is the best team right now in the Southeastern Conference?
I think you got to say it's LSU because they're the one that's undefeated. You know, and I thought Florida would have a chance last night to maybe take that title because they've been playing well. And you got to give LSU credit. They're finding a way. I mean, look at the games they've won. And it seems like almost all of them have been one or two possession games. In a lot of cases, 1 or 2 points, you know, and State was down there to play its first road game in the league two Saturdays ago, and, you know, had a chance up 9 in the second half, and LSU turned up the heat on defense, forced some turnovers, got some easy baskets, and then they get a buzzer beater to win the game. You know, I mean, that's the mark of a veteran team. That's the mark of a team that knows how to win. So I think right now, you got to say it's them. I don't know if it will be at the end of the year, but I think right now it certainly is.
I want to switch gears a little bit with you, Neil, because we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little football with you, since you are also the voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs football team. But there's been quite a splash that's been made in Starkville, of course, of the change of Joe Moorhead. Now Mike Leach enters into the fray. What's it been like from the football side of things, just as far as the energy, the excitement, and everything there in Starkville with now Mike Leach, a guy who's very well known in college football as the head man down there in Starkville?
It's been a circus. That's what it's been. And, you know, I think everybody would tell you that they kind of expected that to be the case. I give John Cohen, the AD, a lot of credit here, because there were a lot of names that were floating around in terms of who State was going to hire. And Mike Leach's name within that group, up until about a day before he signed the papers, was not up toward the top. You know, it was just kind of like, well, what if? You know, boy, wouldn't it be nice if they could land this guy? And then it happened. And there were a lot of circumstances, I think, that opened that door late in the process, including Joe Judge winding up being the head coach of the New York Giants. But, you know, ever since the deal was done, ever since that introductory press conference, it has been nothing but, boy, we can't wait for spring practice to get here. People are talking about personnel, how they're going to fit into this offense, who's he going to hire. It's really kind of been a life breather into the program, because people after that Music City Bowl loss to Louisville, we're kind of in a bitter place. And this has flipped that on its ear. So, you know, we'll see what happens when spring ball gets here. But right now, the people in Starkville and the state people across Mississippi are really excited, I think.
How reactionary are the two schools in the state of Mississippi to each other, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, with the hire of Lane Kiffin? Was this almost, hey, we've got to up our game. We've got to make the splash, because Joe Moorhead, you know, from all accounts, wasn't a splash guy. But how much of this was a reactionary move to the Lane Kiffin hire?
I don't think it was. Historically, I don't know that I'm the right guy to ask that question either, because this is just year three for me. So this is the first time that something like this has happened since I've been here, where both of those schools have made a major coaching change within the same year. You know, so I don't know that I've got an accurate answer for you on that one. I think that the real basis with Mississippi State, because even before Matt Luke was let go at Ole Miss, there were rumblings that, you know, State should make a change, or that the fan base wanted a change, maybe that the administration was mulling a change. I don't know that this was reactionary at all. I think it was just probably the result of, okay, you know, maybe they should have done it at the end of the regular season. And I think they were prepared to do it, even though State won the game against Ole Miss. I think they were prepared to do it after that game, and for whatever reason decided, well, let's stick with it and see how the bowl game goes. And the bowl game didn't go well, and it was almost immediate after the bowl game, okay, it's time for another direction. So, you know, I don't think it was reactionary. I just think that it is a crazy coincidence in a given year that these two teams both change football coaches. I also think that, depending on which side of the fan base you ask, if you had a fan and not a broadcaster, they would absolutely point one finger or the other at each other and go, no, this is exactly why you did it, too, because that's just the way this thing goes, you know, 24/7, 365 in this state.
Oh, it just comes back to a guy acting like a dog peeing on a field. I mean, that's what it all comes back to.
I've talked about that twice inside of 3 years, and when I got into this business, I would have probably never consciously thought I would have to talk about it at all. You know, if I did it 30 years, I don't think I'd ever have to talk about a guy doing that. And it's happened two times in 3 years. And again, it's an interesting rivalry. It really is, because crazy stuff like this happens.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait for the Egg Bowl now. I mean, I've already been looking forward to it every year, but now with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach into the fray, it's going to be a great one. There's no doubt about it. But it's going to be a great game tonight between Arkansas and Mississippi State as well. Neil Price, the voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs football and basketball team. Really appreciate you joining us this morning, Neil. Have a great call tonight, man, and good luck the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you, all right?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Hey, appreciate it. And it was Neil Price. You know, it's funny because, yeah, well, obviously the basketball game tonight is very important too, but man, it's just really hard when you keep thinking about it. Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin going up against each other in one state. Like, those two guys who at a point in time, and maybe even still today, are household names in college football, and they're in Mississippi. It's just wild if you really think about it.
I mean, they got to win some games to hold some water to what I'm about to say, but that might be one of the hottest tickets in the league next year.
I mean, but it's not based on the competitiveness of the team.
It's based on those two coaches, those two personalities, that rivalry.
Box office.
And if both of those teams are 8-plus win teams, and I don't think they will be, but if they were, that might be the hardest ticket to get to a Southeastern Conference game next year. Stadiums aren't 100,000 seaters like Alabama, or 80-plus like Auburn, you know, or Tennessee.
Right.
You know, that might be one of the hardest seats to get next year.
Yeah, because the Egg Bowl is going to be like Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're not going to be groundbreaking and acting. It's not going to be stuff that's Shakespearean, but it's going to be a fun, enjoyment of event that you are going to be able to watch and witness, and you will pay money for it to see it. That's what it's going to be. And it's kind of funny too, because if you're Arkansas, you got Sam Pittman, you got a good staff, and then people are excited about it, but from the national perspective, no one's really caring about Arkansas right now because you don't have Lane Kiffin. You don't have Mike Leach. You don't have all these big name coaches. You don't have Jimbo Fisher or Ed Orgeron or Nick Saban or Gus Malzahn. But you know what? That's all right. That's okay. Because even though that game, that Egg Bowl, maybe box office, it may be entertaining at SEC Media Days to hear those two guys talk and all the other coaches, what it comes down to at the end, though, is winning. That's all matters. And if you win, no one's going to care about how personable or how funny your coach is. It's going to be about, well, you're the one that's getting it done on the field.
Yeah. Arkansas, Mississippi State tonight, 6 o'clock game. If you're in Northwest Arkansas, great place to go watch is at Sassy's.
That's right. Sassy's with their 2 locations in Fayetteville off of College and off of Weddington. Great food that you can go. They have plenty of TV so you can watch the game as well. And I know that every time I go there, I got to get the barbecue nachos. But I recommend getting the brisket tacos as well. If you want to mix it up a little bit, their brisket's phenomenal. They have award-winning smoked wings, which are also phenomenal.
Wings are a must, for it, particularly when you're going to be there a while for a game.
Yeah.
2-3 hours.
Sriracha that
honey
you get.
Sriracha.
Woo, yeah, baby. Honey sriracha wings that you got to try out. Get those as well. They have a full bar that you can have any of your drinks. They have specials as well. So just head over to Sassy's. If you want to go on the healthier side too, they have some wraps that you can choose from as well. But no matter what you get at Sassy's, it's going to be phenomenal. So just go over there. Again, 2 locations in Fayetteville, very conveniently located off of College and off of Weddington. Be sure to check it out there as well. It also is a What's Your Beef Wednesday. So if any of you have some beefs that you would like to get in and have us mention and talk about and break down and try to give you some help on it, that's what we're here for. So you can call or text in 877-377-6963. Because I know a lot of people use these Wednesdays to kind of complain about it. But what's nice about it for right now is there's really not anything to complain about with Razorback Athletics. I mean, because it seemed like every time we were having a recurring theme for a while, especially with football. Well, of everything, but right now, there's just not really anything to be upset about.
It feels like you've turned the corner a little bit as a program, and hopefully some of this momentum in basketball will carry over. Now, hopefully, if they lose tonight, you don't lose some of this mojo you feel like you've had around this program if you go on a 2-game losing skid. Arkansas is going to lose a couple 3 in a row at some point. This may be the stretch. Tonight is huge, and we'll find out how they rebound not literally, but figuratively, off that loss.
Yeah.
So, because rebound may be the key to all of it.
Yeah. Because they're going to have to, listen, if they were going to win games, they're going to have to at least hold their own in rebound. I'm not saying they have to win the rebounding battle, because I don't think they ever will. But just hold your own. Don't get out-rebounded by 30, and you'll win these games.
Take the ball, drive it right at Reggie Perry tonight, and try to get him in foul trouble early. That's your best bet.
If you throw a bow or two, you know.
Well, don't want to turn this thing into Kansas State, though.
Man, it would be fun, though.
So,
you're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Final segment here on the Morning Rush. We are brought to you by the Catfish Kitchen.
I'm telling you, some crispy, hot catfish with some tartar sauce right now. I know it's breakfast time, but tear into a platter of that right now. Some French fries, pinto beans. Pinto beans on a day like today is like perfect. You like pinto beans?
Not a bean guy.
Not a bean guy? Good protein. You can go to the Catfish Kitchen. All you can eat catfish tonight for $19.99. They also have a 3-piece catfish dinner with all the fixings. It's only $11.29. Daily lunch specials for people in a hurry and eating light from $7.99. And we mentioned that the all-you-can-eat catfish, that's every Wednesday night. Last night, if you weren't there, you missed out on all-you-can-eat crab legs. They do that on Tuesday nights from 4 to 8. So get by and see them. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, beginning at 11. They're going to be open until 9 o'clock here real soon, open until 8 right now. They're going to be expanding their hours for spring and summer hours. So get by and see them. And every meal comes with homemade hush puppies that are delicious. Beans, coleslaw, the tomato relish, all the fixings. Plus, they had other great stuff on the menu, and they're adding stuff all the time, like catfish bisque soup, catfish tacos, New Orleans-style barbecue catfish. So they got all kinds of new dishes they're trying right now. It's at the Catfish Kitchen. All you can eat catfish tonight. Be sure and get in there for that. 727 Fayetteville Road at the top of Logtown Hill.
Let me ask y'all this. because it's the last segment we're mailing in, and who cares?
It's inclement weather policy today.
Who gives a rip? Show's over. But if there was a type of food or a meal that you would like to see created into an all-you-can-eat buffet, what would it be? Because, you know, when you think of buffets, what you think of Chinese food buffets. You think of
pizza
buffets. Yeah. And then, of course, there's always the kind of like the well-rounded buffets of like the Golden Corral type places where it's just like a hodgepodge of everything.
Like actual barbecue ribs that are good ribs,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because we're talking about quality food here, too.
Not like, just, you know.
Yeah, not just throwaway stuff. We're talking about if you could have, like, would a barbecue buffet be something you would go to? Where it's like you get,
usually barbecue on a buffet is not great.
Yeah, it's sitting out there. And yeah, everything.
But if you had a choice, like where you could go, it's like, okay, here's pulled pork, here's brisket, here's ribs. You know, go on down the list.
If it was fresh, you know, like the way like a pizza buffet, that's like they're cooking it the whole time, bringing it out. If it was something like that where it's constantly being, updated.
Yeah, I think barbecue would be a good one. Because I've been to I guess catfish buffets are technically like seafood buffets, close to it at least, maybe not to the same extent. But I was just thinking about that because, you know, I don't go to buffets often because when I do,
because you want to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
You feel like you have a financial obligation.
Yes.
To try and put them out of business.
I just signed a contract to try and make myself as miserable as possible.
Right.
And I have to do it that way. And that's why I try to avoid buffets as much as possible. But man, sometimes they'll just
generally
they'll
just the best food is not at a buffet restaurant.
Well, yes, I think that we've established that. But there's still some redeeming qualities of a buffet.
Yeah,
I mean, like if I go to a Chinese buffet, I know I'm going to feel miserable. But man, load it up on fried rice and some General Tso's chicken.
Yeah, and I'll be hungry in 2 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Drink a lot of water.
Thinking about catfish, though, and the fixins, if we lived in a consequence-free world where calories didn't mean anything,
I could
just eat hush puppies.
Oh my goodness.
Nonstop. I could just fill up on hush puppies. Yeah. I love them so much.
Yeah, that should be the real question, is if you could have one particular food that you
could eat all the time.
That calories don't count.
Doritos. Nacho cheese Doritos.
Yeah, we've talked about that one. Doritos was my big one, too.
Well, is it cheating to say pizza? Because pizza is actually a combination of ingredients, you know.
Let's stick with just one like main ingredient, because if that was the case, pizza would be an easy one.
Just like the cheese, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like
you
cheese.
You can eat queso all the time.
Cheese or something like that. Chips and salsa would be a good one too.
BE in Clarksville says he's a one trip buffet
get
guy.
Out of here.
Who the hell goes only one time to a buffet? Yeah.
Then you don't go to a buffet if you go on one trip.
Just flush your money down the toilet.
Yeah. What are you doing? Like what do you Then don't go to a buffet. If you're a one-trip guy, don't go to a buffet because then it's not a buffet anymore. The buffet, the point of it
what
is
restaurant
to go several times.
Let me ask it this way. Let me rephrase your question, counselor.
Okay.
What restaurant that doesn't have a buffet you wish did? Someplace you like to go and you like to eat, and it's not an all-you-can-eat. It's not a buffet deal. You just order and you get what you get. But boy, if they had an all-you-can-eat buffet, I could put some damage down there. I could put a dent in them.
I'm just telling you right now, the first one that pops into my mind, and you're going to laugh, but is Taco Bell. Because could you imagine going into a Taco Bell, and there's the tacos, the Crunchwrap Supremes, the Quesaritos, like all available, an all-you-can-eat buffet, because Taco Bell is one of those few restaurants that I get a mass quantity of food usually when I go.
One thing about Taco Bell, though, if they did have it already prepared in a buffet, their stuff doesn't hold up very long. Because it's like if you've got a 20-minute car ride, by the time you get home, it's going to be all soggy and stuff.
Yes, so you got to eat it there.
It's got to be made quick and
easy. Yeah, you got to eat it there.
Popeye's chicken.
Now that would be good. Because then you could get all the biscuits you want.
Oh, my goodness.
All the chicken strips. I mean, it's spicy or normal. I mean, that would be a great
Popeye's one. Popeye's would be a good one.
That would be a good one. Hayden in Bentonville texted and says a Waffle House buffet. Now, I could get down with some of that.
Hey.
I like, because what was it? Was it Shoney's that used to have like breakfast?
God, oh, my Lord. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, Shoney's was like old school
breakfast.
Do they
still have Shoney's?
The last I knew was in Harrison, and it's been closed. It's now a Casey's.
Yeah.
It's been closed for a while.
I used to love Shoney's.
Four or 5 years.
Yeah.
They had that bear.
Shoney's
they
bear.
Welcoming you in.
Yeah, because the only place now to do breakfast buffets is like when you go to a hotel and they have complimentary breakfasts. Yeah. Like,
I mean, Golden Corral. You
know. Yeah, I guess they would do breakfast too. Yeah.
On weekends.
Yeah, Kyle and Prescott says Texas Roadhouse. That would be an interesting one. I guess you get a lot of steaks. Mm. But yeah, Popeyes would be up there. Chick-fil-A.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. All you could eat how nuggets.
Many, yes.
Those nuggets.
Those nuggets.
It's like when you go to a party and someone has a tray of those nuggets.
Oh, they're
and
gone.
The Chick-fil-A salt.
They're gone.
You want to be the life of the party? Bring the Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say if they had a $20 Chick-fil-A buffet, I could eat $20 worth of nuggets.
No.
Oh, yeah. In a trip.
And you'd feel like the $20 was a bargain.
Yeah. So Chick-fil-A, that's the thing. Because then, since we're ever-evolving questions, Tommy, since you said Popeyes, how much would you be willing to pay for an all-you-can-eat buffet?
At Popeyes?
Because obviously they say $50. It's probably not worth
it. No, not 50.
But
I'm thinking like 15.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, how much fried chicken? Because as I've established on this program, bone-in fried chicken is far superior to chicken tenders.
Well, taste, of course. Yeah, for sure.
And anyone under about the age of 30 doesn't seem to understand that.
It's easy to dip, though.
I understand.
Yeah.
It's not easy to drive down the road and eat a bone-in chicken breast.
Right? I feel the same way about, like, what they call them, boneless wings.
They're not boneless.
They're not chicken nuggets. They're chicken nuggets.
They're chicken nuggets with sauce on them.
Exactly. So it would be how much? $15?
$15.
That'd be the most. So if they did $20,
I'm not saying that I wouldn't splurge and go 20. I'm just saying it's $14.99.
Seems reasonable.
Sounds like a fair price.
Okay. Okay. Because that's probably what I would do. If it was Chick-fil-A, I'd probably pay $20 for it.
Yeah. Of wings, though, what would be a good wing place that, like, had a buffet? You know, it's like, I don't want to mention places that I don't care for, you know?
Yeah. As far as, like, all you can eat wings?
Yeah.
Type places? Yeah. Like, I mean,
I like Wingstop, you know?
Yeah, Wingstop.
If Wingstop had a buffet.
Yeah.
For
Wingstop buffet. Like, Buffalo Wild Wings is a place. They would do the wings, too. But the thing is, it's like,
Hooters has good wings.
Hooters has good wings, too.
I've
been there recently.
You indulged in their all-you-could-eat wings.
Been there like all-you-can-eat on championship game night.
Yeah, yeah. Ty Richardson put down over 40.
I wish I'd have witnessed that.
They were boneless wings. So, but yeah,
of course they were.
Yeah, they're easy to dip in the ranch, man. Yeah. Easy to dip in the ranch. But
gotta go blue cheese.
And the problem is that you start getting different flavors in different combinations, just start churning in your stomach, and then
some of those hot flavors, man.
I'm telling you. Okay, we got texts flying in now. We're really getting on to something. JT Notson says $20 buffet at Chick-fil-A. Get me a milkshake, including
no milkshakes, drinks are extra.
Those you got
premium
pay.
Drinks are extra.
Yeah, B in Clarksville says, man, Pizza Pro and Clarksville wings are delicious.
I used to work at Pizza Pro when I was in high school.
David and Harrison says, you guys are solving the world's greatest problems this morning.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you. We're doing it big time. Hacker and Harrison says, Salsas and Harrison would be one with a Mexican buffet.
Oh, I've driven by that.
Now, right across the street from ESPN, one kind of across.
It's close by.
We could walk there from the studio, but I've never been in there. I need to go in there and eat.
Now, here's Porter coming in with a great one. Arts.
There you go.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah.
If you had an all-you-can-eat, if it was all-you-can-eat bacon that they had over there. That's
would
all
the
I
kick
did.
And chicken be included in that?
It'd have to be. You'd have to include the kick and chicken and some ribs.
Neighbor's Mill in Harrison would be another good one.
Yep. Yep. That'd be nice. Taylor in Fort Smith says, give me a sushi buffet.
I'm not into the sushi. So I was thinking that too, but I didn't say it because it seems like if sushi's sitting out in a buffet for a while, you want it made right for you.
That's why fried food's the best because fried food can last. Can
under the lights.
I got the winner, Judge.
Uh-oh.
No more calls, please. We got a winner.
Game over after this.
I want the all-you-can-eat pass at the Kings River Store in Marble, Arkansas.
Oh, well, yeah.
Put me behind the counter, open the doors up, and just let me go at it. There's the winner. No more calls.
I've never been there, so I don't know.
Do you realize how long it would take to get the smell of fried food out of you?
My car, when I actually show willpower and don't turn in to the Kings River Store in Marble.
Which is like never.
My car cries, you know. What are you doing?
Your car shuts down. Yeah. It doesn't have as much gusto as it once did.
I wanted some fried chicken strips.
Yeah.
There's the winner. Just open up the bay doors there.
Gosh.
Give me a big fork and we'll just get after it.
Yeah, big fork.
Now, that would be, and that might be a $50 buffet you'd be willing to pay for.
Ooh. Yeah, because that becomes the next question.
Because they got ribs in there. They got the best chicken tenders.
Well, it's because, like, some people are saying that,
they got the fried pickles, the cheese sticks, the catfish. Oh, yeah. They got everything.
Anything fried, they got it.
Car parts are fried in
there.
But here's
the
thing. It's
great. Some people are like, we're bringing in steakhouses. I don't want an all-you-can-eat steakhouse.
Yeah.
Because steaks need to be just one.
Yep.
Just one great steak, and you're good. That's it. Yep. Like, I don't want to eat three steaks, because usually that means they're not that good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not down with the steakhouse side of things, too.
I am a guy who once got a steak from a Waffle House.
They have steak at Waffle House?
Yeah, I don't know what part of the horse they made it from.
But hey,
it was a T-bone on a horse.
Steak and eggs, I guess, if you're going to get them at Waffle House. Right. That's the way to do it. Man, So I guess my number one would have to be Chick-fil-A.
Hardee's biscuits. How would you like to be able to eat all the Hardee's you can without consequence?
That'd be great. I mean, I
tried to talk to them, and they ought to make burgers with the Hardee's biscuit.
Yeah. Okay. You see, if you just break it down as fast food restaurants, of like what you like is an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Hardee's breakfast would be right up there.
I'm thinking Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A, too, for me, man. Like, I just, because I eat so much Taco, when I go to Taco Bell, I go to Taco Bell.
See, I prefer Taco Bueno over the Bell.
See, I do too. I love Taco as far Bueno. As the food goes, but there's just some allure about Taco Bell. I don't know what it is.
It brings you back to your childhood because it hasn't changed in 30 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's always going to be the same there too. So, no, those are great options. Now I'm starving.
Let's go to the hot box in Marble. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
It's 9 a.m. Let's get some tacos.
Hey, Tommy, David and Harrison says the Whataburger.
Another winner.
Let's go with all the fries and spicy ketchup you can do.
If I ever get anything that's terminal, I'm going straight to the Waffle House or to the Whataburger for a triple with bacon.
And you're going to have to use a knife and fork for that sucker, I'm sure.
Give me two of them.
Yeah. If you weren't terminal already, you will be.
And a Diet Coke to go with it.
Appreciate everybody listening in. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you here on the Morning Rush tomorrow morning.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.